7, I invite you to hear how the Spirit moves in this passage. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now take a moment.
It is Pentecost Sunday. Happy birthday to the church. It's where we celebrate the beginning of the church. And the passage of scripture that I'll read to you this morning comes from Acts 2. And follow along as I read these words. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to the Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In their own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women. And in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they will prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, but the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this morning, I asked the question, how do you experience God? How do you feel God working in your life? For me, one of the things is music. That doesn't surprise you very much. I often feel God moving through the beautiful organ music and piano music that Bill offers every week. Yesterday, I was moved by the beautiful rendition of Stand By Me by the gospel choir at the royal wedding. And that's not even a religious song, necessarily. But it was moving to hear the message of God through that song. So how do you experience God? Maybe it's in a sunset. Maybe it's in working with children. Maybe it's doing your job or being in relationship with people. We all experience God in different ways, don't we? Today is the day of Pentecost, and that's the story that I just read for you. And it tells of the emerging of a very important aspect of the Christian faith and of the birth of the church. So happy birthday, church, today. And we focus a lot of times on the strangeness of the story about tongues of fire and people speaking in different languages who had never been able to speak that way before. And it's an exciting story, but it can be a bit scary. And some people don't understand. So this morning I want to focus on a different kind of aspect of the story. What was actually happening to those followers of Jesus as they gathered in Jerusalem? What was it that Jesus was doing in their lives? These people had just been through a very difficult time. Their friend Jesus had passed away in a very gruesome way. He had been resurrected. He had come and seen them and had talked to them again. And they were just kind of, what do we do now kind of attitude. You know, Jesus is not physically with us. He's made us some promises, but we don't understand them. So what do we do now? Does that sound kind of familiar to us today? Are there times in our lives when we say, what are we gonna do now? We have this hole in our lives. We have this big empty spot that needs to be filled. And what it needs to be filled with this morning is the presence of the living, breathing God. God is with us. These people, these Christians, or early Christians, they experienced God in that day on Pentecost. They found themselves in interaction with something that was so much greater than they were. It changed the whole shape and the whole quality of their lives. And that's something that we all need as Christians today. And the good news of today, the day of Pentecost, the day we celebrate this miraculous event, is that it can happen in our lives today. On that night before Jesus died, he told his disciples many things, and they didn't really understand it. And at that time, Jesus gave them a promise that he would send another, the Holy Spirit, to be with them and to teach them all that they needed to know. And then after the resurrection happened, Jesus appeared to them and he said, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And they were expecting it, but they didn't know what to expect. And then the day of Pentecost came. And the Holy Spirit came to the disciples, and they were aware of God in a new and powerful way. The invisible reality of God became real to them. more real than all the little visible and touchable things that surrounded them. And they felt changed. And they shared their discovery with other people in their own languages, miraculously. And others experienced God too. And on the day of Pentecost, the disciples and many others came to the experience of the reality of the God who was made known through Jesus Christ. And that's something that we all need. We need to know that God is a present and alive in our lives. We need to know that He is doing a great work in and through us, in this community, in this world. We need to think of that as we go about our daily lives. We need to think about that because we live in a world that is secularized. A world that focuses on what we can touch and feel and own and have and put in the bank. It is in our faith, it is in our relationship with God that we find real meaning in life, true richness. The religion in which most of us grew up can supply what is missing in our lives. It can help us get in touch with a greater reality, with something that is real and alive and moving in us, something that loves us, someone who loves us, who enables us, who gives us gifts and talents and abilities so that we can go out into the world and live a real adventure. One who will relate to us just like Jesus related to His disciples. And when we live our lives in relationship with someone like that, our lives are different. But how can this happen? How can it happen that we know this very special gift given to us by the Holy Spirit? Well, there's no easy formula for making it happen. There is no magic word that you can say and presto, there's God standing right in front of you. Our lives are unique and complex. Our life experience has led us into many different places in life. Our abilities and disabilities to perceive and to relate are all different. And the experience of the reality of God is likely to come to each of us in a way that is uniquely our own. That's why I asked the question a few minutes ago, how do you experience God? Because it's different from the way I might experience God. It's always a mistake to try to have a religious experience just like somebody else's, or to try to tell other people that they're not Christians because they haven't had the same experience that we have. Paul talks about that with speaking in tongues, remember? I haven't ever spoken in tongues. Does that mean I'm not a Christian? Well, no. It just means that my religious experience is different from someone else's. Our religious experiences are unique and personal. But there is a possibility that each of us will have that experience. We can all experience the reality of God. The invisible reality of God is all around us. The Bible tells us that God is always trying to get through to us so that each of us can have an experience of the reality of God and live a life shaped by a relationship with Him. I think Wesley called that prevenient grace. That active presence of the invisible God is what the Bible calls the Holy Spirit. And we know that experience is there for us because so many others have had that same kinds of experience, that they've gotten in touch with God and they've told about the experiences that they have. Lots of people have gotten in touch with God by looking at the visible world around us. Lots of people have gotten in touch with God by sharing in relationship within the church. There are so many different ways that we can experience God. We need to remember this day that we have our own unique experience. But it is an experience, and it is real. Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote a poem that talks about the reality of God for one person. And her words say, "The earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush is ablaze with God. And those who take off their there are those who take off their shoes, and the rest just sit around picking blackberries." The experience that has made such a big difference in the lives of those early Christians in the day of Pentecost is the same God that speaks to us today. And God is there all around you, and He's trying to get through to you in a way that you can hear, in a way that you can understand. The experience of the reality of God is there for all of us. So we need to keep on working toward it and wanting it and reaching out for it. And if you're open to it, it will eventually find you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray.